First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody, and it is a good Monday morning after last night's Rockets win, another ass-whooping, and the Rockets take a 3-1 lead, come back home, 7 o'clock Tuesday night to finish off this series, and then it's on. And this is exactly the way, right? I mean, I kind of feel like, does basketball always, is it always, I know that women's college basketball always turns out like it's supposed to. Connecticut is always playing in the Final Four. They're undefeated up until the Final Four.
Yeah.
And then either they win or lose, depending on if Mississippi State or South Carolina or somebody can actually,
or Notre Dame
can actually come up and do something miraculous and beat them, and then they have a parade. But,
well, you win a title, you have a parade.
Well, yeah, but I think Mississippi State had a parade even though they didn't win the title when they beat them. Basketball is pretty much, you know what, if you got a better team, you're going to win, right? Isn't that the case? And we're going to be down to the Final Four here. A 3-0 lead, a 3-0 lead, a 3-1 lead, a 3-1 lead. I guess we are right there where we're supposed to be. The Cavs are done.
The Cavs are good.
At 3-3 and 3-1-3-1, right? So, I mean, this is where it's supposed to. Although Boston is surprising everybody because, now, I did say before the series, I said Boston was going to win this series.
Yeah, you did.
I like Boston. I think that team is unbelievable.
It's clear watching. We can get to Brad Stevens in a second, but it's very clear watching. Philadelphia's just not ready. Like, they've got a lot of talent.
Yeah.
They're going to be a real problem.
But they're just not ready yet.
They're just not ready. That's all it is they don't know how to win yet. They don't know how to finish. They don't know how to close. And then you take that and you add to it a coach that could single-handedly pull out a win. I mean, Brad Stevens literally, I read the article and watched all the screenshots and saw everything about how they had two inbounds plays that were designed over the last 30 seconds
of
the game.
Yeah, you retweeted that.
That both resulted in makes. I was like, oh my God. I mean, when you really see the screenshots and everything broken down, you realize Brad Stevens single, and that's so rare. That's so, because NBA coaches, to me, it's really about calling timeout, stopping momentum. You know, there's only so much they can do. And then having your guys buy in and play hard. But every once in a while, and especially, and this is where one of Rudy T's weaknesses was that he wasn't great after timeouts, the ATO plays and under the basket plays, late in the clock plays, they weren't always great. And that's where Utah, with having John Stockton, was always really, really good. Well, here's something that is really, really impressive with Brad Stevens. Something really impressive with Brad Stevens is that they have the ability to get unbelievable looks because Brad Stevens is just that good at designing plays that isolate it. And he knew Philadelphia would switch off and yada, yada, yada. So I don't want to get too far into it. We can break that down later. But Brad Stevens and who the Celtics have are overcoming the talent disparity. And it's really not maybe as big a disparity because Embiid hasn't been the same factor. With the Rockets, you look at the Rockets, and the Rockets and Jazz, the Rockets are the more talented team, but they really haven't been playing great basketball for about a month and a half. And all of a sudden, going into game three, I'm like, holy crap, this is a hard place to win. The Jazz are really good at the Salt Palace. The Rockets tore them open in the first quarter, in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was like, and then they cruised in second half. And in the third, it was defensive-minded Rockets just came and said, you know what? This is why we're different this year. We can smother you like blankets. And here we are. The defense of the Rockets, they didn't shoot it well again.
No, again. The defense is what won the game.
Yeah.
There's no question.
The Rockets can, but that's a point. Winning on the road in a hostile environment with defense,
that's just,
I would have never thought over the last 4 years that we would ever say that about this Rockets team.
No, and we did, and we said it last night. And Clint Capella, holy crap. Oh, my God.
So you got to pay him, right? I mean, there's no way around
it. There's no way around it.
They can't add LeBron. They can't add anybody. They're just going to have to keep this nucleus intact, and they're going to have to pay Capella.
I mean, if it wasn't for Chris Paul yesterday, the Rockets don't win that game probably. He was fabulous, fantastic, and he has changed this whole thing. You know, obviously, Tucker plays great defense, Ariza, Bamute, all of them. But Clint Capella is, you know, you talk about a big three. You got to have a big three now, and Clint Capella might be the third.
Well, they've been.
Clint Capella may be good enough to be considered a big three guy.
Well, look at the all year long, the stat about what the record is when that three is on the floor. I would say that does show it. And he doesn't score as many points, but the rebounds, the blocks, and then what he has done specifically in this series, because the Jazz do try to get into the paint a little bit more, they do challenge a little bit more, and they don't have a center who steps away from the basket. I mean, Gobert is going to allow you to stay close to the paint. Man, Capella's challenges in game three and game four, blocks and challenges were huge. I mean, they're just huge.
And he seems to be getting better. I honestly really can't be more wrong, I guess, about basketball. I didn't think Chris Paul would work at all because the two guys had to have the ball, and so there's not enough basketballs. They'd be punching each other at half court, trying to get the ball from each other. And then I thought, well, Clint Capella, man, when I first saw him, I'm like, really? That dude is going to be able to guard anybody in the low post as skinny as he is?
And he got pushed around a lot early.
But you've got to be able to, obviously, if you're a GM, you got to be able to project.
Yeah.
And Daryl Morey couldn't have been more right.
Well, and his body type was, he's never going to be beefed up. They say Daryl thinks he can add another 15 pounds of muscle. He said he did last year. He's going to do it again this year. So he is going to get better. And he's only, how old is he now? 23?
And you love that he wants to learn. The Dream worked with him.
I know.
And does he not look inside playing defense like the Dream?
His Dream was even more explosive, but there's a lot of – he's long. His timing now has gotten really good. He's not getting pushed around on rebounds as much as he used to. And he didn't have to guard the low blocks. Like, this guy would have been a shot blocker who got – who would have had a hard time handling real strong physical guys who got the ball in the low block and backed them down. But that doesn't exist much in the NBA at all. So that's almost irrelevant anymore. And so now, he is a shot challenger. Like Clint Capella is better than Dream at the pick and roll. Like pick and roll, Dream was not great.
Well, Dream's a low post,
Dream would struggle to catch and flow to the basket. Clint Capella can get lobs. Ooh,
You better watch what you say. Aren't you, Dal? Did you hear that? Did you hear Thundersticks? What he just said?
Well, the Thundersticks didn't come about till recently, so of course he's going to jump on Capella bandwagon.
He was. Wait a minute. He shares a birthday with Dream.
I know that, but he's Thundersticks. Dream can't win him a title this year. Capella can, so he's on the Thunder. He's on Capella.
He's all over Capella's nuts.
You're legitimately,
good Lord.
Both of you are the worst.
If you are,
you're
saying Capella is better than Dream. He just said that.
I said in a screen and roll.
Oh my God! And Dream would say, "Oh yeah, is that right? Oh yeah." Dream would go, "Oh really? No, wait a minute." At the end, Dream was a lot more athletic and could do more things than just low post, but. For you to say that, oh my God.
Just in the high screen and roll.
And also Capella, I think, benefits from the way the game has changed.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to go against a 7 foot guy, 250-pound, who has low post moves.
Yeah.
Who in the NBA does that right now?
Nobody.
Right.
Carl Anthony Towns and he's
not athletic enough to get around Capella.
He was sprinting out to the 3-point line after the series.
It is. I mean, if he had to go against Kareem Abdul-Jabbar
those are Hall of Famers.
I mean, well, our Shaq backing him down?
Dream used to. So, he benefits from that. But, no, his timing on his block shots is really good. He's become a stronger rebounder. He keeps his positioning better, as you mentioned. His instincts are pretty good, where he's getting over on the help side. Like, Yao was big, but Yao's always slow to recognize his help side defense. So he didn't have as many block shots and challenges as he could. Like, he got dunked on more than he should have. But I'm just really happy that the Rockets have taken these two, because Golden State, it is going to be, I don't know. I think the NBA, maybe it would have been better for them to have the young upstart Sixers in there. But I don't know that it matters. From a TV standpoint, this is about as good as they could have hoped for.
No, LeBron is always going to bring more eyes.
Well, I'm talking about...
Oh, on the other side. Yeah. I don't know, Boston. Yeah, they don't have any star power right now. If it was Kyrie... If Kyrie was there against LeBron in the final, crap from the last summer?
No-brainer.
Oh, my God.
No-brainer.
How good would that be? But that's amazing. Now, as good as Brad Stevens has been, listen, Stephen A. rips Brett Brown, a new one, the Philadelphia 76ers head coach. Man, oh, man, oh, man, on SportsCenter, listen to Stephen A. tear Brett Brown a new one.
I have one thought. This is the first time in my professional career coaching, covering the NBA, that I've seen a coach lose all three games in a playoff series. That's my thought. Game one, they were ill-prepared. Game two, that second quarter, you threw the game away by being up 19 with 3:43 left in the first half, and you let them go on a run to close it to within five. You call no timeouts. You make no substitutions. You don't slow the pace. You don't get the ball inside to Joel Embiid, and you don't sub in anybody like a Markel Fultz. Tonight, Philadelphia, game three, turnover prone. As Doris accurately pointed out, it's been a problem with them all year long. At the end of regulation, why do you have a shooter in J.J. Redick trying to make a point guard decision? He's the one who's supposed to be receiving the ball, not looking to make the pass. Why didn't you get the ball down low to Joel Embiid more? Why is he 17 to 19 feet away from the basket in pick and roll situations? What kind of sense does that make? Then on top of it all, you got overtime, and you saw what happened with the inbounds pass. You've got five guys on the floor. Only one of them is athletic enough to get away from Boston's defenders. That person would happen to be Ben Simmons, and you got him inbounding the balls. It makes no sense whatsoever. Those were the key elements in this particular game. Of course they turned the ball over. Of course there were some ill-advised shots. They were in tough situations. They're a young team. That's why they've been turnover prone throughout this year. But when you look at the decisions that was made by the coach, I have never, ever in 25 years of covering the NBA, see a coach in the first three games of a playoff series blow all three games. That is what happened, and that is why the Philadelphia 76ers on the brink of elimination, about to get the broomsticks out and get swept up out of here. It's because of coaching. Wow. It's that simple.
He seems mad.
He's angry, Stephen A. He wanted Philadelphia to win badly, apparently. He is none too pleased with a Brett Brown. Ooh. Wow. Ooh. There's one side. And you know what? Some of it might be valid. I mean, Brad Stevens seems to put his guys in, like those two inbound plays that you're talking about, to set up for the Celtics to win in critical situations. Brad Stevens puts his guys in the best position.
Yeah, he does. Well, he understood Sixers were going to switch, so he intentionally had screens to force switches. And then he would switch, so Joel Embiid would have to guard this guy, and then that guy would run all the way as far as he could away from the basket. And like, Joel Embiid's just running with him, like,
hey, we're going the wrong way.
I'm 33 feet from the basket.
We're going the wrong way.
Bye, Embiid. You're out of the play. Bye-bye. And he was just intentionally switching, making you guard some. And as soon as you guarded somebody that he wanted you to guard, he just run you out of the play. And then all of a sudden you're sitting there like, hey, it's one-on-one with Al Horford, and he's getting fronted, and it's an easy lob. And Brad Stevens did a phenomenal job. Hey, when we come back, I was gone in Belize. I'll tell you a couple little stories. But how did the Astros – now, I was gone for only about 4 days, but when I left, they were struggling a little bit. Did they get it back?
Yeah.
I've been gone since Thursday. Last I saw, they were getting ready to play the Yankees, and in the final game of the series, I was wondering how things
were
going.
Went well, and then the series this weekend went really well.
I didn't have a lot of internet there, so let me know how it went when we come back. Just tell
fortunately,
me how
Verlander blew
it. Is the offense still going good?
No, yeah, the offense was great. Verlander blew it, unfortunately.
Did he?
Yeah.
Tell me on the other side, because I'm interested to see how it went. I'm expecting good things.
Yeah. So you can't get Astros games down in Belize. But I'll fill you in on how good it was.
Yeah, we don't have Julian Morales and Blummer. And
you don't have Todd. The Blummer down there?
Yeah, we don't have them. So I'm assuming things went pretty good.
And I wish everybody would stop saying, I'm Todd Callis. Okay? I wish people would stop saying that. That'd be great. Thank you. All right, why don't you talk about saving people money?
Well, I can tell you this much. Bill Advisor is a company who, at their heart, they understand, and why it was started was they understood there's a huge market for people like me who are sitting there angry because, for me in particular, it was DirecTV. I was really upset that I had been paying for, I was watching all these people get free Sunday ticket. I'd been paying for it like 15 years, 16 years. I saw these prices, these introductory prices that people were getting, and I was like, I've been with you guys for 20 years. How am I not getting any of these offers? This is ridiculous. And I got fed up with it, and I ended up switching over to like UVerse. I wasn't happy with that. I wasn't happy having to change my idea of where the channels were. Like, where are all these channels? I got to start over again. I was miserable. Bill Advisor came up and said, hey, would you be interested in us negotiating your bills for you to get them to where, you know, they should be? We get you introductory rates. I'm like, that's what I've always wanted to do, but I've never known how because it never works for me. Well, they get to customer retention. This is the area that they want to keep you. They want to hang on to your business. They help you find other deals if they need to do that as well. They got me DirecTV back after I was off DirecTV for about 6 months. I got it back with all the movie channels, $80 less per month, and $40 credit for the first 3 months. That's how they did that. They negotiate your rates to new customer rates and get you the same specials that other customers are getting for joining them. And you deserve it as a longtime loyal subscriber. Go to BillAdvisor.com. That's BillAdvisor.com. Or simply text GO to 232323 and they will start the process of negotiating your bills and get them much lower. And they can save you $800 to $900 on average annually. BillAdvisor.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
AJ drives one deep to center. And it's over Springer's head. This will get the Scouts home. AJ racing for third. And he's in there. The throw gets behind Bregman. And he's coming home. Safe! Oh, no, they got him. Everybody take a look. And we're going to get we got a collision there at third. Looks like an obstruction call. A.J. Hinch is out there.
Yeah, it was an obstruction call. It's a crap call. A.J. called it horse bleep. Well, he called the rule horse bleep and then a bad interpretation of it. A bad interpretation of a horse bleep rule. And here's the deal, is if they would have had him out by about 10 feet, then he would have been out. But since it was a close play at the plate, he's safe, which is stupid. Either it's obstruction or it's not obstruction. One of the two. Did he obstruct with the runner or didn't he obstruct with the runner? And it's actually, and quite frankly, Bregman got out of the way. I mean, it was just crap. But it didn't matter anyway because they scored another run. I mean, you brought in Will Harris against A.J. Pollock later in the game, and guess what happened? Will Harris has been a mess, just like every other freaking guy in the bullpen has been a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, the bullpen is a mess. The offense is a mess. It's just a mess. It's a kind of everything except the starting pitching is a mess. I mean, it's just another solo shot. Are there fewer guys? It's unbelievable how few guys are on base this year. I mean,
that's the worst thing you can say.
I mean, it's
the lack of people on base.
It's unbelievable.
It really is. It really is.
And you know, probably, well, John, well, let's go back. They're only 4 points behind last year's on-base. Well, I don't know. Maybe it just seems like there's absolutely nothing going on.
We're not getting a lot of crooked numbers this year like we did in past years. The big inning is not.
And that was a game again. I can name you 10 games that they would have won last year that they're not winning this year. Again, they can't ever come back and beat you in late in the game. They just don't do it. They almost did it the other night, but then they came up short. But if they're down in the sixth inning, they just don't win. And last year, how many games did they win late? I want to say 14 or something late game, or even more. But they're on pace right now for zero. I mean, I'm not on pace guy, but they're on pace. It's just, you know, just keep running the same stuff,
John,
out there.
This is the truth. 10 of their 15 losses have been by, they've scored one or no runs. In 10 of 15 losses.
11 now. They've scored one or zero in 11 games now. After tomorrow.
Oh.
After yesterday.
Oh,
after yesterday.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
I made
11. That made 11.
Did it?
Yep.
3, 4, 5. No,
that's 11.
6, 7.
Yeah, they did it.
9, 10. I'm only getting 10.
I got 11. Well, we can. Neither here nor there.
Well, they're both terrible.
Yep.
They're both terrible. Whether it's 10 or 11, it's both pretty terrible.
Oh no, they won. Okay, you're right, because they won one nothing.
Yeah,
but they've scored one run or zero runs 11 times.
I'm saying of their losses.
Yes.
That's pretty astounding that percentage of your losses you've scored one run or less. I mean, they're 5-8 in their last 13. They've lost 3 of the last 4 series, and it's all because. And we can say whatever about the bullpen, but their starters, like, you should realistically, if you're throwing some crooked numbers up every once in a while, you don't even have to have big monster performances. You just need to have a big inning. And you'd probably get out of there, and we'd be talking about them being 8-5. Even with the bullpen being a little shaky here and there, I mean, they're not blowing all these games in the ninth inning. This legitimately, I mean, we're legitimately looking at a run that should be no worse than 8-5.
Yeah.
Because the starting pitching is so good, you could argue it should be 12-3 with the starting pitching being this good.
Since they started 6-1, they are 15-14. They're a 500 team. Mm-hmm. They're a 500 team.
Yeah.
And you know what? They've acted like it with the best starting pitching in baseball. And it's not even close. It's not even close. And they're 15-14.
Yeah.
So you can't tell me that something isn't wrong. And, I mean, here's the deal. I mean, you got that White Sox series, and right before that you had Seattle where you put up a 7-9, and then you had an 11 against the A's. You had an 8 against the A's and another 8 against Arizona. Otherwise, I mean, now either they blow people out or they score no runs or one.
That's it.
That's not good.
The world, and that's where people are getting this. That's where it looks the same on paper.
It's not.
So people are looking at, but it isn't the same. Not. It isn't the same because it's being thrown askew by the series. Frankly, when they were against the Rangers, when they were 7-9, 10-9. I mean, it's kind of throwing things off.
Well, and I'm kidding. I see. Dell, what happens every time Gleyber Torres hits a game-winning homer?
I feel like you get stabbed in your heart a little bit every time.
I think sometimes in the face.
In the face. Yeah, I don't think you don't die, but it feels like a little jab when Gleyber Torres hits a home run. You're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Why can't we have our great rookie up and play?
And Ronald Acuna. Do you keep a list? Bellinger last year.
Do you keep a list of rookies who are playing and look to yourself? Why is Kyle Tucker not kidding?
I feel like
kidding.
there's a daily box score check. Like,
how can I avoid it? Because ESPN puts Gleyber Torres on there every day. But Gleyber Torres is, by the way, we saw him up close and personal here. He's a good player. He's a really good player. Maybe he was ready. I don't know. And I don't care. Just do something. Good Lord. And everybody, I said, I tweeted out yesterday, just do so. Oh, you're just do something guy? No, I'm pretty sure I've pretty much said what I would like to happen, but absolutely just sitting on your... And it's not doing something for the sake of doing something. It's actually doing something to help better the team. Is Gattis... I don't know that I've seen anybody as lost as Evan Gattis. I mean, good Lord. He's standing in the on-deck circle next to George Springer, getting ready to bat for Verlander, which I thought was a bad idea. I don't know.
Yeah, why are we only going six innings with him?
Why? Wait, no. Not only that, but I'm not sure that Verlander...
Oh, you mean from a hitting standpoint?
From a hitting standpoint. Verlander
that's a bad look.
Verlander got on bases previously, Ben.
That's
all
bad
I'm
look.
Just saying. And oh, by the way, Gattis hasn't. He is he's on a 1-for-17 stretch with 7 strikeouts. Whoa. 1-for-17 with 7 strikeouts. And George Springer tells him on deck, he goes, he's coming high. He's coming high. He go up and get it. Go up and get it. What happened? He threw 3 fastballs at his chest, and he missed every one of them. And he's a good high fastball hitter. He's a good high fastball, and he's not. He's just lost. He's just lost. And it's either in the dirt or it's not. And anybody who tells me it's the last year, well, they didn't bring anybody up until July 3rd. Oh my God. That was last year. That's not this year. It's a different team. Well, they got rings, and you don't. You know what? They got. Yeah, there's a lot. You know how many managers have been fired after they had rings because they didn't adjust to stuff? You know how many managers? About all of them. About every manager either gets fired or whatever. I mean, can we stop? Something needs to be done. And it's baseball. You got why? Why do you have to wait? I know what Jake Marisa. I'll tell you what though, Derek Fisher is starting to look a lot better at the plate. I will say that. But you know what AJ doesn't do? Put him back in there. He sat Yuli yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yuli was the only guy who was hit, and Yuli comes in off the bench, pitch hits, and gets 2 hits. You're like, wait a minute, you only got one guy that's hitting, and you bench him. What? Okay.
So all this was happening while I was gone. This is all this terrible stuff.
All this terrible stuff.
I can tell you this. So. I only had internet whenever I was near where I was staying, and every once in a while you'd find a place like they'd have a complimentary Wi-Fi, and so I was catching up on Astros. So if you can watch basketball, they've got national games. They've got like a cable system, but I was just like, God, dog it. When they lost, I kept getting text messages when we flew in on Thursday from Uncle Freddie, Sarah Jackson, who does stuff with Running Game Clothing. And Beavers, and so she's like, they better
not. Laura Beavers was texting you?
No, from Beavers the restaurant on West.
Yeah,
Sarah Jackson does stuff with them. And I just kept getting, they better not have this. I'm like, what's going on? You know, we can't see. We're like, what's going on? We're just getting back from the airport, and she's keeping us updated. And Uncle Freddie starts texting, oh, my God, if they bring Giles in. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, and all of a sudden, Uncle Freddie goes, insurance home run by Correa. I think we're good.
And scene.
What's the score? 5-3.
And scene.
Maybe he said that, and then he said if they bring Giles in. I think that's the order of that.
Yeah, it wasn't Giles. And it was Harris.
No, he was worried about Giles coming
in.
Yeah,
great.
It doesn't matter.
Except
it
Harris,
didn't matter.
Except
didn't
Harris
matter.
Came in. And
I'm like, wait a minute. There's no way they're going to lose this. And so I'm just living vicariously through these text messages.
Why would you allow your people to text message you about the Astros?
I mean, Astros, I can't
tell
them
hey, guys, don't ruin my vacation by sending me Astros stuff.
I'm on vacation and had the Astros hitting woes, bullpen woes, and I fought with Jazz fans for 2.5 hours starting from halftime because I said Rockets, I just tweeted out, Rockets, sprint as fast as you can out of there. Don't let the Jazz fans get ready to attack you. After
they would
game.
Attack the
And
bus.
It's like one person picked it up and it spread like a virus throughout Jazz community and they all came at me saying, this is such bull. This is a false narrative. We are not a bad fan base. We are an excellent fan base.
Oh, really?
None of these things have ever happened.
Really?
They've all been discounted. There is no racism here.
Oh yeah.
You know what you should do? You know how when your team wins, you want to go outside and shoot some hoops? What would you do that on, John?
A hoop sporting goal and equipment.
Thanks, Dale.
Yep.
Thanks
a keep Tate goal. That's Thanks what you do with it. And Ronnie and Chuck, we get you guys on as soon as we come back. Not to worry.
Pile
you guys
on
are first.
Astros and Astros.
Yeah, we'll get you guys on. But if you want to get the best hoop in the business, when you're watching, Capella and Rudy Gobert dunk easily like that, your kids are like, I want to do that. Well, that's easy. You lower the goal down to 5 feet because then your kid can dunk. And you let them play like they're Rudy Gobert, or better yet, Clint Capella. and let them have a lot of fun, as opposed to the basket with the white backboard that needs paint and the rim is bent and that's stapled to your garage. That's horrible. And actually, it brings down the value of your home. Somebody drives by and says, ooh, that's an ugly house, when you might have a beautiful house, but the goal is ruining it. The best goal in the market, it's not even close, with all the accessories, a light, stenciling. They can put your kid's name on the pad to make it his court, a net to block the ball from going in the street. It's all at Hoops. ProDunkHoops.com, ProDunkHoops.com, 281-351-9822. Tell Keith Tate you heard it right here.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Hey guys, it's Lance. I was just thinking to myself, you know who would be great doing this commercial? It would not be Childish Gambino, who I was just watching, because apparently he's got a lot of testosterone going in this video. Apparently a lot. Now me, I wouldn't have had that 2.5 years ago because I got diagnosed with low testosterone and I wouldn't have known it. I just thought I was really tired. And they said, is it maybe because you have low? No, I said, I don't have low anything. I have low sleep. I have high caffeine. It makes me crash and low sleep. And then they ran a test and my numbers came back low. And they said, this is exactly why you feel tired. This is exactly why you feel fatigued. You may be tired, but you're at a different level of tired. And I got my first treatment that day, and they said, you'll feel a big burst of energy like on day 3, day 4. And sure enough, it was on Tuesday when I got the treatment. On Friday, it was like a brand new me headed into the weekend. It was unbelievable. I worked 13 straight hours, and I was like, all kinds of gas still left in the tank at the end. After that, it started to be where my workouts, I got back on the workout train, and the workouts, it was like a multiplier because I saw great results, lost 24 pounds, got in great shape, and it just felt great at all time. You had the drive to excel. It really does lift that fog off of you, and that's something that you might be suffering from, but it may be something else. There's a few different types of potential telltale signs. One can be a lack of drive. One can be a lack of libido. It can be a fatigue. It can be an inability for your body to process that belly fat into lean muscle mass. If any of these sound like it's you, then go see my friends at Men's T Clinic, 4 locations in the Houston area. They're ready to help you get to being the best you possible, the real you. Men'sTClinic.com. Check out their 4 locations. Stop in and tell them Lance Zierlein said, head on.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, back here on ESPN 97.5. We said we get guys in. Who's first? Okay, Chuck was first. Apparently he's in a wind tunnel, so let's get him in here. He wants to talk about his Astros. What do you say, Chuck?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Chuck,
Lance,
what's going on?
John, Del. I would just like to ask, has anybody heard from Professor Manning on not panicking yet? Or is it too early for that? Because I got to tell you, I don't care. I think it's time to make a move on something. And, you know, I think we need to do something. Because it's not working out. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not do something guy. But what you're advocating is not doing something like just making a trade for trade's sake.
Or no.
That's do something. You have something very specific in mind, which is let's give somebody with more talent and more upside an opportunity.
Yeah.
That's not do something guy.
Well, but okay. And I tweeted out yesterday, Jeff Luno, even if it's wrong, do something. And you're like, oh, you do something. I'm like, oh, God, shut up. I've said what I want to be done. But doing absolutely nothing and watching this over and over and over again now while they're starting pitching. Because guess what? You know, you can say, well, the starting pitching is great, and it's not going to be this good all year. It just can't. Otherwise, you've got the 71 Orioles. And I'm not, I don't know. Maybe it is the 71 Orioles. I don't know. But I do know this, that they'll probably regress to the mean. More, at least they won't be as great as they are right now. So do something to bolster the lineup. Don't just do something. Do something to bolster. Give it a spark. Young guys come up and give guys a spark all the time. And I guess it could be Tony Kemp. And I guess it could be Yeah, you know what inspires everybody? Here comes Tyler White or A.J. Reed or J.D. Davis or Tony Kemp. No, that's not going to inspire. That's going to be. And you know what else is going to happen? Just like with Derek Fisher, is A.J. won't trust him. A.J. will not trust him, just like he doesn't trust Derek Fisher.
I just want better. I don't care where it comes from. Like, I just guys need to start stringing hits together. They got to start hitting the bottom lineup. And then the Astros across the board need to start stringing hits together in innings and putting together some crooked numbers. They just do. It's what they've done. It's what they've done, frankly, offensively. Now, it's not like they've never gone into offensive funks. They actually have. This is actually how they've hit in 3 or 4 years. Good players can hit really well, but they go into funks. The team does, and they'll go into offensive downturns. We didn't see it as much last year except in the summer where they went into that big lull. This year it's happening, and at some point, I don't know what the trigger point is, but at some point, there are going to have to be changes made to the lineup to eliminate guys that can't hit. Like, once the sample size gets to, and he's not going to give up on Gattis. He's not going to give up on Marwin. Those are two guys that he won't give up on because they've been part of something. But you can minimize guys. You can play hot players. Mariznick, he could give up on. Fisher may end up finding more at-bats.
But Fisher, you can send down until until he can get more at-bats and get it going on. And you know what? The fact that, you can't. Stop. Oh my God. You can't possibly change this lineup. Why? I mean, and especially when it's the 23rd or 24th or 25th guy on the roster.
Right.
It's not like, you got to replace Altuve because he's slumping this week. Nobody's saying that. We're talking about guys that are fringe guys anyway. When was Mariznick a main cog? When was even Gattis? He's a
Gattis
guy.
Is totally replaceable to me.
He absolutely is. And so is Fisher. And you don't give up on Fisher was better than Tucker is now. And okay. And you know what? J.R. Tolles was awesome in AAA.
Right.
And guess what? He couldn't hit at the major league level. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Fisher might be able to hit at the major league level. It's just that AJ won't give him much of a chance. Right. Even when he gets hits, he pulls him. Ronnie is here. Let's get him in here. Hey, Ronnie.
Well, I'm going to pile on, man, just like you guys are saying. John, I was wanting Tucker up here at the end of spring training, but you can't bring up one young 21-year-old guy and expect him to carry the team if the other guys who are already here aren't doing what they should be doing. I don't like Mariznick. I don't like Gattis. And we've got guys who could replace them, whether it's Tucker or whether it's Davis and Tyler White and maybe Tony Kemp. But I don't see why you're carrying a guy like Gattis, whose only capable contribution would be hitting. He can't. You don't want to. They don't put him on the field because we got Stassi now who can catch. And I just think, I mean, Davis and Tyler White have shown some things that they could do. You could play them in a spot or two every now and then. And another thing I would do, and I don't want to do it, but they talk about saving money, you know, and not spending so much money. Why do you have a first baseman that's making $14 million a year when you've got other guys who could play the position and probably hit just as well as Gurriel is hitting? You could trade Gurriel and get a couple of young pitchers, maybe get a really good left-handed relief pitcher, and put White or Davis at first. You could get rid of Mariznick, and I know Tucker is left-handed and Mariznick is right-handed, and so that may not be what you want, but I'd rather have Tucker in the outfield than Mariznick. You could platoon Tucker and Fisher, even though they're both left-handed, but there's just Gattis and Mariznick, to me, is the worst. When the rest of the team's not going well, you got to get rid of one or both of those guys.
I would agree with you on the Gattis, but Yuli, I mean, a guy that hit 300 last year that had huge hits for you and home runs.
He's a central part of your
lineup. He's a cog. I mean, that's a guy that's hitting fourth or fifth in your lineup.
Left-hand reliever, not even remotely.
No, hell no. Are you?
I don't think that.
That's crazy. You're crazy talk.
Well, talking about taking out a bat for a team that's not.
No, that's not hitting.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
I mean, I know he's not. You know what he's hitting this year? 280. You're going to take a 280 bat out of this lineup? And he hit 299 last year with an 818 OPS. Yuli Gurriel is a professional hitter. You don't take that dude out. Yeah, I want to. He's averaging $10 million a year in his contract, okay? Mm-hmm. He is a 12-4 guy this year. They paid him, $47.5 over 5 years. That's less than $10 million a year.
Right.
Less than $10 million a year for a professional hitter. No. I'm not taking Yuli. I love Yuli. I'm not taking that dude out of the lineup, and especially a lineup that's not, like you said, it's not hitting, and you're going to take one of their hitters out. No. But as far as the other guys go, well, I mean, I think that there's, again, I think this is more of a loyalty thing than anything. Hey, we won with these guys. We're gonna roll with our guys, and we love our guys, and all the, you know what? I like Jake. I like Gattis. Gattis is a great guy, but he's not hitting. You're hurting the team. And like you said, he can't do anything but hit. Can't catch anymore. Can't run, certainly. He's a liability in the field. That's all he can do is DH, and he's not hitting.
Gattis is a leftover from Crush City Astros, where you would live with liabilities and kind of, because he is a pretty one-dimensional player, and when that one dimension isn't hitting for you, granted, look, he can be a backup catcher. That's great, and he actually has position versatility.
Well, he's not your backup catcher, though.
Well, I know he got Stassi, but I mean he has the type of versatility where he can if you're a little bit soft because of an injury or somebody's. He does have versatility to play emergency catcher. That's kind of like being able to play emergency quarterback. It does have some value. So he has the value to play a few different positions. That's great, but not well. I mean, he's not a plus defender. You know, Marwin can more than handle himself in the field. Gattis is just going to be a sub
more
defender.
Than handle himself. Good Lord, Marwin's a...
Well, that doesn't sound the right kind of way.
Well, he's a plus everywhere he goes.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. This guy is not a plus. He's not even average. Gattis is going to be a little bit of a minus defender. He's a minus contact hitter. He's... well, you say can't run, but he did have like 40 triples one year.
Yeah, he did.
In some random, like, how the hell did he get 40 triples and Bish couldn't even get one the year he had 50 doubles?
I didn't hear this, but did you guys hear Milo in that Calder?
Oh, I did a little bit.
Yo.
Trade
Yuli.
It sounded like the guy who does Milo's impression.
He did not sound a little bit. Like
it's not the
Milo.
Same guy. I heard a little bit.
Why does Milo want to trade Yuli? Trade Yuli. Jeez, hang up now. DJ locked on. Is that Milo?
Hold on.
Another.
Oh,
hey, Pally. Well, you got to trade Yuli. He Milo. Makes the Chinese eyes. No, you don't trade Yuli.
No.
Let's stop. Okay. Can we stop that right now? Hey, what about. We've been talking Astros. What about Sugar Land Skeeters? Have you thought about them lately?
Skeeter Ball.
How about Skeeter Ball?
I'm going to check on how Skeeters did over the week. I didn't get that in Belize either.
We're going to be there next Tuesday.
We are going to be there.
Day game?
Yes.
Nice. I'm going to stay out there for that one. Stick out there, have some pops, have some food, make it a whole day.
Not tomorrow.
Next Tuesday.
No, next Tuesday. Next Tuesday we'll be out there. That's going to be a lot of fun. Look, another homestand, and you got to get out there. If you haven't seen Constellation, how many kids were out there when you were there, Del?
It was teach kids the game day, something along. So it was a lot of kids out there enjoying some baseball.
Yeah. And you got a place where if you're an adult, you can get away. Now, I will say this, the outfield, I don't know that I've ever seen a park that's more kid friendly than this one.
No, they understand. I mean, they're playing to, look, there's a kid's place and then there's adult place. They like to, they keep it segregated in a good way.
Right. It's this is where segregation
I probably wouldn't have used the word segregated.
Kids stay here. Maybe if you're a parent, you appreciate it.
No, yeah.
This is the kids' area.
And I think they understand, too. A lot of people can't take kids to a big major league sporting event or whatever because it's too expensive. Whereas at the Skeeters, It's not too expensive. It's actually the most affordable, fun you'll have.
Very affordable. Food's affordable. You got the adult drinks. You've got the blow up. My kids like to go do combat on the little blow up thing with the sabers, or they're smashing each other in the head. And I encourage it. Do it, kids. Do it. Now, just keep doing this. Make yourself tired, and Daddy's going to have this drink. And that's how that works. Just simply go to the website, SugarlandSkeeters.com. They've got a ton of different events coming up. Every single game, they've got special events going on. They will book packages for your Little League team. They will book packages for your church group. They'll book group packages for you and the people in your neighborhood. Simply go to the website, SugarlandSkeeters.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Man, that's the worst news I ever heard.
Real.
I'm watching Tim Kirkchen talk about Yadier Molina's groin.
When you get hit so hard as a catcher that you have to have a groin surgery, that was a terrible play. How about Astros fans? It wasn't many. It was just a couple people on Twitter. Hey, we got to get Matt Harvey. Like, this guy hasn't been good for 2.5 years. Yeah, but spin rate stuff will fix him. Like, I don't know. And the guy literally said,
he might get a better grip on the ball here.
Yeah, you know, it happens.
One never knows.
Now, this argument, you bring him in and you send him to the minor leagues, like, you understand that that's his whole thing is, I don't want to go to the minor leagues, right?
Yeah.
That's his whole deal is, I don't want to go to the minors. And he has enough money in his bank.
No, when you're a veteran, you don't want to do that.
He doesn't have to go to the minors. He can shut it down and just go live in Belize, like the Phoenix where I was.
No, he made plenty, and he's going out. He's got a stable now. Have you seen, go Google Matt Harvey's girlfriends.
I've seen him. He was going really good for him for a while. And it's
The Dark Knight.
It went bad for him.
Then it went dark.
I'm not going to the minors. No, nothing you say can make me go to the minor leagues. I'm still a great pitcher.
No, you're not. Mm. Sucked for 2.5 years.
No, you're not. And somebody, hey, how about getting Matt Harvey? No. No, thank you. No. Nope. Why would you want to ruin this pitching staff? Why would you want to ruin this bullpen?
What?
I think he might. That's the thing. He might improve it.
Here's something else I realized.
Look at Colin McHugh, the first guy to ride out on the cart out of the bullpen.
So they provided this option for how long? And he's the first.
And he's the first one to do it.
Maybe thought he was going to go play some golf, because isn't that what you guys do?
That's what white guys do.
Just trolling. He's just trolling his own team. Like,
now did he get it?
Because you know he took crap for that from his own team. I mean, you know that they're like sitting in the dugout just going. Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to walk in.
I know, he's just... But he can't do anything looking at him like...
Look.
Because then he'll get hit, because then people will get hit by pitches, because that's against baseball.
But he was warming up for about 3 hours, because Charlie Morton, in the first inning the other night, walked four guys.
Yep.
And threw 40 pitches in the first... Or no, it was 30-some pitches in the first inning. It was like, oh my God. And then he only gave up one run. Well, he gave up one run, walked four guys, and gave up one run.
Charlie can roll through.
It was, man, what a... I want to tell you something. Our team, they're still 21-15. They're still 6 games over .500. It could be worse. Could be the Dodgers. Could be the Nationals.
Oh, it could be way worse. This team's fine.
But whole Dallas Keuchel thing, we're not the Cubs in the preseason?
Well, I mean, look, no one thinks they're going to be the Cubs. It's just way different.
Oh, by the way, the Cubs made the playoffs. By the way, the Cubs won their division.
Did they still win it?
Yeah.
I mean, they became such a non-factor in the public's eye relative to what was expected.
They were. Yeah.
Well, I mean, but the problem is, you can say it's not going to happen, but the fact is, when you win a championship, you usually are playing your best ball in a postseason, which is the same thing with the Astros. That's not going to be the case in the regular season. Like, it's rare that you play to the same level that you played it in the postseason once the next season rolls around. You had outliers to help you get there that are not going to be in place the next year. And everyone's gunning for you every single series, which is the same case here, obviously. People know the Astros are the team to beat.
Yeah, I get that. But, man, are you really? Well, when you got Verlander throwing freaking he's got a, there's an 0.56 average again, and Cole striking out 16 guys, and they're gunning for you, all right? No, you're not living up to your end.
Right.
I mean, and well, how are you going to hit a Matt Cole? Who? What the bleep? You can't hit a Matt Cole or some of the guys that are shutting down this Astros lineup. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? I ain't buying everybody's gunning for you, because guess what? You're rolling out Verlander, Keuchel, McCullers, Cole, and Morton.
Yeah, but I think, you know, you
and might, they're going, holy bleep, look what we got to face.
Now, your pitching staff, but you might be facing, the pitchers may have tightened up what they're doing against you, you know, with some, I mean, you have plenty of book on these guys now, the Astros. They're all vets. Carlos Correa's a vet. Everyone knows what you do well and what you don't do well. So, I don't know. Hey, when you win a championship, when you reach that level of satisfaction, you can say that you won it again, but I do think it's hard. We've just seen it way too many times in way too many sports. It's not like this isn't all sports we see this usually happen. It's very rare where you see the Jordans, or you have what LeBron does, or you have what, you know, Tom Brady does. It's just rare. Usually teams take a step back. That's actually what generally happens. We got to break it right here.
I got a question for you that I just didn't understand. In last night's at halftime, there was a tweet out, right after the game, there was a tweet out that I just didn't understand, and maybe you guys can explain it to me. But let's talk about Renter's Warehouse right now.
Yeah, we got to get to the Rockets, too, because the Rockets are...
Do you think the Rockets are any good?
I think the Rockets deserve some talk, and I think Clint Capela, we got to get into that. And also, Chris Paul, something's going on with the Rockets offense that is very, very different than what
Daryl Morey envisioned. Time he takes that, I'm like, Daryl's not going to be happy with you.
Hey, Renter's Warehouse, man, so good at what they do. Richard Drake and his crew, they basically make it so easy for you, because they say, look, we want this to be hassle-free. When you entrust us with renting your property out, we're going to tell you what you should get back on your property. Then we're going to rent it for that amount. They do it within 17 days. They find new renters. But, John, for one low monthly fee, they handle everything, the upkeep, the rent collection, they even warranty renters.
Well, and that's why a lot of people say they're not going to rent their homes, because they don't want to deal with the tenants, and you don't have to, okay? And here's the deal. It's a machine, what they got over there. They tap hundreds of websites to score you the perfect tenants in just a few weeks. You get to pick the tenants. Then their certified tenant match and warranty process kicks in. They're going to do everything. And look, if the tenants say they bow out, they provide a free 18-month tenant warranty. So if your renters default for any reason, they'll replace them for free. No upfront fees, no binding contracts. You can cancel anytime. 713-224-RENT. They do an unbelievable job. I'm working right now. I got a nephew that's going to be coming into town, and he wants to rent. And I'm working with Rich Rate right now, and it's unbelievable. It's so easy. Renters Warehouse. Great tenants live here. 713-224-RENT. RentersWarehouse.com.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.